We're going to have a quick look at a contrast, if you like, between the film of Noah and the Bible story of Noah. And I have to say at the outset, I haven't seen the film. Okay, if you want to hear a sermon of someone who's seen the film and has used bits of what they've seen and the Bible together, listen to Rob's sermon from the first service. It'll be online, hopefully later today or tomorrow morning. But what I've been able to do is I've been able to go online and look at the things, the press releases of the director and some of the actors, to look at what they were trying to do with the film and the themes that they were trying to set. And so maybe this then is a bit of the meaning behind the film. The key thrust of director Darren Aronofsky's film is that of the psychology of religion and of the religious believers and of non-believers. He paints a picture between Noah and his family on the one side and those who didn't believe on the other. And he paints this picture of this violent world in which they have their faith or no faith. Noah's religious views ultimately cause him to become very miserable and obsessed with people dying. He gets very depressed in the film. I think Aronofsky needs to go and read a book by Andrew Sims, who says that actually religious belief is good for your mental health. He obviously hasn't read that book before he made the film. What he's chosen to do then is use a bit of artistic license and try to fill in some of the gaps in the written story for his different emphases, his different themes to come through. For instance, Noah believes that the whole of human race should be wiped out for the way that they've been acting. And so he's not happy even with his own sons being able to repopulate the earth after the floods have receded. This religious view affects his relationship within his family and, of course, with others. Primary character in the film is Noah, not God. God isn't mentioned by name once. He is the creator. It's no surprise Aronofsky said this. Aronofsky is the director. I don't think it's a very religious story. I think it's a great fable that's part of so many different religions and spiritual practices. He then went on to say, I think religion is often very different than spirituality. Religion is often about rules and people trying to control our lives who are actually very unspiritual. He says, another message of the film is that God can be found anywhere and in fact everywhere. And so you don't necessarily need a religious dogma to get your spirituality. To be honest, that's actually quite an odd view. Because what he's suggesting is somehow we can sit in a field and we can conjure up God in our own image, as if God is just some kind of idea. Whereas actually, if I was to get to know any of you, and I know quite a lot of you, the way we get to know each other is we sit down and we have a cuppa and we have a chat and we spend time with each other. Why do I do that? Because you're a real person. No point me trying to get to know Sarah by just sitting down and deciding, I think I know what Sarah's like, and she's going to be just like this. I have to spend time with Sarah to get to know her. That's where Aronofsky's going wrong. He has this idea that God is just an idea rather than a person. So the meaning has changed quite a lot in the film. So what about the meaning behind the biblical account? Of course, we just had a bit of the passage read for us there from Genesis chapter 6. Let me just take us back a step, though, and ask ourselves, what is God's priority? Just generally, what is God's priority? Maybe we should say, then, what is the greatest commandment? It's to love God. So God's greatest priority for us is that we love God. And likewise, because God won't ask us to do anything he's not willing to do himself, God's greatest priority for God is to love God. Interesting, isn't it? So with that in mind, when God sees all the stuff that's going on in the world, he wants to change things. He wants to set it right. He wants the world again to love God. The world was not holy. It was quite the opposite. People had not only turned from him, but they were being violent towards each other. And so God chooses to start again, to wipe out all the evil in the world. Going to find that quite interesting because quite often people say, I wish God would stop all the bad things in the world. But when they look at him doing it here, they're probably not so happy about it. God saw Noah, though, as a good and a righteous man. And so he would save his family. We see God and Noah getting to know each other. We see God telling Noah how to build the ark, what to build it out of, how big, how many floors. We see God and Noah working together. Next week, we're going to look at a little bit more in the salvation story from Noah. But actually, one of the lines, I don't know if you spotted it in the trailer, what I thought was really quite helpful. Hermione, we call her Hermione, Emma Watson, basically said, it's the end of everything. And Noah said, it's a new beginning. And actually, that is very much what the story of Noah is about. They have actually got that bit right. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning for people on the earth with God. And like we've said, the rainbow reminds us that God will never again wipe out all the mankind like he did. But we can come to Jesus for a second chance. More about that next week.